Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
Welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again. But for a radio audience here in Mississippi at WYAD 94.1 FM and WYADonline.com, we're glad that you all could be with us. Also, as tuning in through our online affiliates around the world, we appreciate you all being with us as well. Well, there's a lot of things, of course, vying for our attention and can really impact the way we live our lives. And I think for a lot of us, we're looking for solutions, not only, of course, to be able to help ourselves, but also our family, too. Our next guest has written a fascinating new book that asks a very important question. We're excited to welcome Dr. Tracy Marks to our program. Her new book is called Why Am I So Anxious? Powerful Tools for Recognizing Anxiety and Restoring Your Peace. So not only does she identify the things that can cause anxiety, but thankfully she gives us some great things to be able to do to be able to help us with that anxiety as well. If you all are just now finding out about Dr. Mark's book, we'll let you know how to be able to get your own copy of it, as well as stay connected with her. Dr. Mark, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Sure. Happy to be here.
So I think the great thing about this book is not only do you do what a lot of people do, is you address the issue, but you also give us some actionable steps. You give us some solutions. What has that been like for you, Dr. Marks, to be able to use your platform to be able to show people how they can deal with anxiety?
Oh, it's been a tremendous opportunity for me to have an audience and have a platform where I can share information, educate people, help people better understand themselves. I started primarily doing it on YouTube. I've expanded out now to Instagram and TikTok, but I just love the fact that the information is hitting home with people.
Mental health is not an easy thing for people to talk about, Dr. Marks, as you know. However, I do think as the world has changed and shifted, it is now becoming something that more and more people are addressing. I mean, it was just recently that Tom Holland took to social media to share with his audience that he was going to be taking a break for his own mental health. Are you finding that too, especially over the past 5 years, it seems like, that people are more open about their mental health and realizing how they can protect their mental health?
Yes, I am finding that that's the case. And I would say maybe even the past 10 years, it's been a very slow increase in people feeling comfortable talking about it socially. I mean, you know, when I finished my residency 20 plus years ago, it's like you had to whisper talking about almost anything, even anxiety. And it creates a lot of shame for people. So I do think celebrities coming forth, more people talking about it on social media, TikTok, it's all over TikTok, mental health stuff. And so I see that as a plus.
And to that point, you mentioned TikTok. I think the thing that we're finding, too, is that the age seems to be getting younger, right, where people are talking about anxiety and their issues with it.
Yes, and that's a beautiful thing to me because anxiety in particular tends to start in childhood. Generally, like the early teens, maybe even like 10-ish, 12-ish, around that age is when you start seeing a lot of the early signs of anxiety that could later develop to more of a disorder. And so to have children or kids be able to talk about it openly and not live in shame because no one understands them or they're afraid of what their parents are going to say and all of that. I mean, I see that as a wonderful thing. Some people see it as a negative and will say, well, everybody thinks that they have this and that and the other now. And, you know, there may be some of that, that overcalling it, you know, you have anxiety because it's popular, but I think the flip side of that has a greater impact, and I'm glad for that.
And that's one of the things I love about your book, especially how you begin, Why Am I So Anxious, Dr. Marks, and that is to address exactly that, I mean, the different causes of anxiety. How important has that been for you to let people know and to really, I think, to free people from the idea that not all anxiety is created equal, that we all are impacted in different ways by different things?
Yeah, that's been very important because it's a pretty typical question for someone of, is what I'm experiencing normal? Should I get help for this? There's even ways anxiety can manifest and you not even realize it is anxiety, like being unsure of yourself or someone who doesn't have a lot of confidence. That could be just self-esteem issues from other reasons, but it could also be anxiety making someone not very confident or fearing that they're going to be judged or that they're going to fail and things like that. So I do think that it's very important for people to understand themselves and not only understand themselves, but know what to do about it, how to approach it.
And that is why, again, why I think why am I so anxious is so important, because one of the things that you do early on in the book as well, and I want our audience to really think about this, it used to be, Dr. Marks, when we hear post-traumatic stress disorder, we automatically thought about people who had gone off to war and were dealing with that. But I love the fact that even as you mentioned earlier, even in this conversation, a lot of times these things can go back to trauma in our childhood. Talk to us about that in your work and how you've been able to help people to reevaluate trauma, but also to think about how PTSD is something that can impact all of us.
Yes. You know, I saw an article not too long ago in one of the medical journals that I follow talking about identifying or accepting illness, particularly people dying with COVID and things like that, as a qualifying trauma for PTSD. Because currently the way it's defined, the qualifying trauma needs to be something huge like war or being assaulted, or a car accident, things like that, either experiencing it or witnessing it. And things like, you know, being hurt or being let go from your job or feeling like you were harassed at work, that wouldn't be considered a trauma that would lead to PTSD. But even so, I think the medical community accepts a sub-threshold version of that where people can still have reactions to things that were traumatizing to them. It may not meet the official criteria for PTSD, which is pretty complicated, but they can still have similar feelings of re-experiencing the event, having trouble being in places that remind them of it, having trouble sleeping, feeling on edge all the time. And then there's this idea, too, of it's more of a psychological construct and not an actual diagnosis of chronic PTSD, which is thought of a little bit differently from the PTSD that's a diagnosis that comes from insults or traumatic experiences that you repeatedly experience in childhood, like bullying, like abuse from your parents. And it doesn't have to necessarily be you were beaten. It could be you were insulted and never validated as a child. And the difference with that kind of exposure is that it affects and shapes your development. So your personality is different than it would be if you didn't experience those things, but then later got in a car accident and had a trauma reaction from that. Those two individuals look different in the way they express the effect of the trauma.
And again, that's why I think our audience can really take to heart, Dr. Marks, that this is something that is personal, right? And that there is, you know, that we all are impacted by things and circumstances differently, and to be able to know what actually is dealing with us and that may not, you know, look like what someone else is having to deal with too, which is why I think this book really is important. I want to say for those who are just tuning in, either on the radio side or online, you're listening to Conversations Live. We're excited to welcome Dr. Tracy Marks to our program today. Her book is called Why Am I So Anxious? Powerful Tools for Recognizing Anxiety and Restoring Your Peace. Let's talk about the latter part of the subtitle for a bit here, Dr. Marks, Restoring Your Peace. You give us different ways that we can be able to approach this when it comes to things dealing with mindfulness, but also, of course, there is ways, of course, talking with individuals like yourself, so, you know, seeking help. But I want to talk about how you've been able to show people how they at home can be able to start dealing with their own anxiety. Why was that important for you to show both aspects? One, the opportunity to be able to speak to someone, to work with someone, but also the two, to be able to see exercises they could do themselves that could also help with their anxiety.
Okay, great. I do want to interject one more thing about what we were just talking about, piggyback on something you said, and then I'll answer this question on the idea of it's a personal experience, and it's important to be able to recognize what's going on with you. I grew up in the South as well, although some people argue that Florida is not the true South, but I grew up in an environment, though, where you didn't talk about mental stuff. Like, I never knew anyone who saw a psychiatrist or psychologist before, and it was looked down upon that you would even want to talk to somebody about your personal problems. As such, and I know a lot of that still goes on culturally, and so, you know, if you are in that kind of environment, it can feel very oppressive if you are experiencing any kind of distress, but the people around you are saying, there's nothing wrong with you, just get it together.
Yeah.
And so I love, again, the fact that it feels like the crack is opening and getting wider for this to be something that's accepted to talk about and accepted to have, whether it be anxiety, depression, or whatever it is, a mental issue that you can have it and you can get past it, you can work through it and live with it, and let's talk about that. So against that backdrop, getting back to your question about talking about what to do, in the second half of the book, I talk about things you can do for your anxiety, part of which is going to see a professional, and I talk about different therapies, because some people, you know, may think, well, what would even happen if I saw someone? What are they going to do to me? So I talk about the different therapies and the different medication options, but not everyone has access to professional help. Unfortunately, insurances don't always cover it, and then some people just don't even have insurance. So for some people, that's out of reach for them to get good therapy or be able to see a psychiatrist. But short of that, even if your symptoms may not be severe enough that you need professional help, there are things you can do to help yourself at home. So I definitely wanted to address those issues as well to make this book like a handbook people could have.
Right. And what I would even say in reading it, Dr. Mark, something that they could share with the family. It can almost make it a family, because, again, talking about how this is personal, because, I mean, we all have dealt with some type of situation that can leave us feeling anxious, especially with everything going on in the world right now, not only, of course, you know, dealing with the pandemic, but also people dealing with health issues, other things. But, you know, here in my state, crime is a big topic right now, so there's a lot of anxiety that people have with those things, right, and the trauma of that. And I think having these as a conversation, because there is work. And so let's talk about that, about doing the work. And I know a lot of people don't like to think about having to do something, but it does take action, right? It's not like they can hear this conversation and everything's going to be okay. There are things they have to be able to do. How did you address that? How did you kind of frame the work that you kind of share in the book?
That's a good question, because yes, when you start talking about, okay, pull out your journaling notebook and do this, you know, we're like, I don't want to do all that. You know, what can you give me, or what magic words can you say to just make this go away? And I'd love for that to be the answer, but it's just not. And so,
right. Yes,
it takes work. And I tell you, I mean, there are people who they've dealt with things that bother them enough, whether it be, you know, anxiety, feeling depressed, having trouble focusing at work, whatever the problem is, that they're willing, you know, to do more than wait for something magical to happen, because they're fed up with waiting for something magical to happen. So that's kind of a mindset shift that you have to make of, okay, yeah, there's pills out there. They don't always work. But I don't want to take a pill. So that means I'm going to have to do something different. But some of these things, they're not that hard. Like, I talk about probably about 20-plus things that people can do. I mean, there's a lot of options out there. Not everything works for everyone and for every situation. So I divide them into mind tools, body tools, and behavioral tools. And so just one example, for the body tools, I'm sure everyone's heard of deep breathing. Well, that's a real thing, and I explain why it's a real thing. It's more than just going, okay, and then I don't feel better right away. Breathing is a way for you to manipulate your heart rate and your body when it's revved up. And so if you have an anxious reaction, you watch CNN, you hear about another mass shooting, you start feeling tense, you can't just make yourself not feel tense. But one way you can do that is to lower your breathing rate. And so we normally breathe at a rate of about 12 to 20 breaths per minute. That's kind of the normal. But if you manually override that automatic process and slow it down, everything else slows down. Your heart rate slows down, your blood pressure, you relax. So it creates a relaxation response. And that's something you can take with you. So what I suggest in the book, or kind of a quick, easy way to start it for your listeners, is to breathe, inhale for 3 seconds and exhale for 3 seconds. That makes you breathing for a total of 6 seconds, which in a minute means you're breathing 10 breaths per minute. And that automatically slows you down. That's just one of numerous things you can do. And it's not something that people will always think about. But if you get in that practice, if you get in the practice of using something like this, then it can almost be just like a knee-jerk reaction that you have. And that's where you want to get.
I've really been impressed, Dr. Marks, about the power of breathing. I had a situation happen where I got a little anxious myself. I thought, am I having a heart attack? I kind of found out it was just I had gotten too hot. It was 101 degrees here. But I immediately did what everyone does. I went to Google. The thing that it said was to take some deep breaths, and that will help with your heart rate. And it worked. And I thought, so when I read that in the book, I thought, that's something most people don't think about, because I wouldn't have thought about the connection between your breathing and your heart rate. But it definitely made a difference. And then, of course, I turned the air on. But I think that's the other, the other thing is, it really does show the power of those things, like the breathing. And, you know, I know you mentioned about journaling. That really – I'm a writer myself. I love writing. So journaling has always been something that has helped me. And I think that's, again, it goes back to the point we were making about this being a personal thing, right? That there is something, some things will work for some people and not work as well for others, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Not everyone responds well to everything. So, an example for me is coloring. That's one of the behavioral tools that I mentioned. I have lots of patients who love their coloring, and it's not just any coloring. It has to be certain complex designs that do it, more so than just kind of open-ended, let me draw something, color it in. But for me, it makes me actually feel more tense, because I think, how long is this going to take me? So that's just not going to work for me, but it works for many other people. So it really is about figuring out, like, first of all, even seeing what's available. And then once you know what's available, seeing what works for you and when it works for you. And then, again, getting to the point where something happens, you're able to reflexively go into that or use that tool. So another example is grounding, using grounding exercises. And there's lots of them, and I give you, lots of examples of ones to use. But a quick one is, if you're in a room, picking a color and then identifying, saying out loud, everything that is that color. So, I see a blue pen, a blue picture on the wall, and so on and so forth. That helps you get out of the moment of kind of detached thinking, because sometimes when people have a panic attack or feel very extremely anxious, they can experience feeling like detached from their environment. It can almost feel like they're just kind of looking at themselves and in this weird space that makes them even more anxious. Focusing in on the here and now helps pull them out of that moment. And so for some people, if you were experiencing very intense anxiety or just not feeling very uncomfortable, you could take 2 minutes to identify everything in the room that has a certain color to it. And that kind of grounds you and brings you back into the present moment.
Again, very actionable steps and things that all of us can be able to use, which is why a conversation like this is so important. Again, everyone, Dr. Tracy Marks has been our guest. Her book is one that everyone should take note of. It's Why Am I So Anxious? Powerful Tools for Recognizing Anxiety and Restoring Your Peace. And who does not want more peace in their lives? The book is available through our friends at Amazon.com or through your favorite local bookstore. If they don't have it, I know they'll be more than happy to order it for you. And Dr. Marks, I notice you all are all on social media as well. How can our audience best stay connected with you?
Well, you can go to my website, which is Marks Psychiatry, M-A-R-K-S, and then the word psychiatry.com. That has all of my social handles on it, but I am on YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok at Dr. Tracy Marks, and that's Tracy with an E-Y and Doctor with a D-R.
All right. Well, Dr. Marks, again, congratulations on the book. Really enjoyed the conversation with you and looking forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Glad to do it. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Saying as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live. Now let's go make today amazing. Take care.